Abstract white shapes fly onto the screen and form the logo for A24. The sun rises over the blue horizon of a globe that spins and becomes the logo for DirecTV. A black and white mask with sharp teeth forms the logo for Savage Productions. A white line emits the letters for Bankside Films, becoming the eye inside. A white square border grows around the name. The Finnish Film Foundation. BAI. Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television license fee. Two yellow gears fall into the outline of a head, forming the logo for Headgear. A theatre screen resolves into the logo for IFB, Irish Film Board. A close-up of a woman's face at night. Blurred yellow lights behind her. She looks about 30, with straight brown hair to her shoulders. She is staring sadly into the middle distance. In front of her, a young boy is facing away, rolling his head back and forth and making faces into a carnival mirror. His distorted face reflects back, long and thin with a variety of grimaces. He turns and grins at her. She smiles at him sadly. Slowly, she steps forward and joins him. She brings her hands up and starts making faces in the mirror too. The rest of the room is dark and empty, made of untreated wood like the inside of an old barn. Savage Productions presents. In association with the Irish Film Board, the credits run over scenes of the carnival. The boy and his mother walk along eating candy floss. In association with Bankside Films. With the support of Wallimage, Wallonia, and VOO and BTV. They walk to their car in an otherwise empty lot. In association with BNP Paribas Fortis Film Finance, Headgear Films, and Metrol Technology. The yellow SUV drives along a deserted road. In association with the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. They pass empty pine woods. With support from the Finnish Film Foundation. In co-production with Wrong Men and Maid. The dark forest seems endless. A film by Lee Cronin. The angle shifts so the car appears to be falling down the road through the trees like a raft going over a waterfall. The sky below is like an ocean. Title, The Hole in the Ground.
You're not getting a bite, love. Not at the moment.
But Mom.
But nothing.
Please.
I said not at the moment. Maybe next year, okay? Sweetie, I said maybe next year.
Stuart Macken says our Jeep looks like something a Fianna Fáil would drive.
Who's Stuart Macken?
In my class.
Is he your friend?
He's an ass face.
Hey.
Can I say anus face?
No.
But it's a science word. Mom, look out!
The car swerves in slow motion. The left mirror is knocked off.
Chris, are you alright?
Yeah.
Don't move.
she gets out of the car. A child-sized figure in black is standing motionless in the middle of the road, facing left.
Are you okay?
She glances at her son, then moves forward cautiously. She's reflected in the car mirror lying on the ground.
I didn't see. It came out of nowhere.
Cracked lips mutter beneath the black hood. The woman watches with concern. She glances down at the mirror and back at the figure. Still watching the pale face, which has not turned, she bends down to pick up the mirror. When she reaches down, the dry lips stop moving. Slowly, the head turns and stares into the car. The woman looks back at her son, who is staring out open-mouthed. She grabs the mirror and walks quickly back to the car. The pale figure doesn't move. The car is parked at a large old stone house. The mother uses a spatula to scrape old paper off a wall.
I'm Chuck, strongest soldier in the whole land, and you're nothing but a little weak. No, please, leave me alone.
You finished? Chris!
It's gone cold.
Put some more cheese on it.
I don't like that dust cheese.
Well, then don't put more cheese on it. Just finish it, please.
The boy Chris drops his toys on the table, but doesn't start eating.
Three.
Two.
One.
He spins and makes a ghoulish face. She crosses her eyes at him.
One wins. You know the rules.
She squats next to his chair as he turns to eat without enthusiasm. After a moment, she kisses his head and goes back to the hall. She drops the spatula and begins patting the pockets of her dungarees. She pulls out a key and unlocks a door in the hall. A dim fluorescent light comes on. She heads down the stairs. The shelves of the dingy cellar are filled with a mess of odds and ends. She rummages through a toolbox, eventually pulling out a scraper.
Mom! What is it, sweetie?
The light flickers.
Chris?
He's standing on his chair.
There's another one.
He points to the corner.
You're getting far too big to be scared of them.
What if it comes back inside?
She won't.
How do you know it's a girl?
Eight legs and no willy, see?
She holds up the jar, crouching in the grass.
Why don't you just kill it?
What'd she ever do to you?
Encroached on my personal space.
It's encroached, and I don't think she did it on purpose.
He gives her a doubtful look.
Dad would kill it for me.
I'm not sad.
Why did we move here with Adam?
It's not that simple, sweetie.
Why?
It's just not, okay?
Why? You said he'd be right behind us. You're a liar.
She looks up at him, pained. She lets the spider out into the dead grass. It scurries forward.
Liar!
Chris!
Liar!
Sweetie.
Chris stomps the spider and runs off. His mother sighs and closes her eyes. Chris runs across a wide field towards the forest. His mother chases after him.
Chris! Wait!
She stops for breath, but he keeps going into the trees.
Christopher!
It is dark between the tall pines. She jogs through them, scanning around for Chris.
Chris! Christopher!
She comes to a narrow clearing with one fallen tree at a 45-degree angle. Its trunk shines white in the gloom. She stands alone. The dark trees loom in all directions. She fidgets with her wedding ring.
Chris!
She races toward the sound and stops suddenly, her shoes sinking into the soft ground. Her eyes widen, and her mouth hangs open. Her hair flutters in the breeze. In front of her, the ground drops away into an enormous crater. She stares frozen into the hole, which is about 100 meters across.
Mom?
Chris is behind her.
Never run off me like that again, okay?
I'm sorry.
Me too.
I know that Dad makes you sad.
She hugs him.
I love you.
I love you too. Mom? What is that?
She looks over her shoulder at the hole.
Nothing. Come on, let's go home.
They leave. The crater is shown to have created a perfectly round gap in the trees, which otherwise stretch off into the distance. The mother lies on a couch, lit faintly by the television. She gets up and pours herself a glass of water in the dark kitchen. A wooden door by the cabinets creaks. She goes over and looks around it before closing it. She walks down a hallway lit by a lamp on a table and picks up a teddy bear as she goes by, hugging it to her chest sleepily. She opens the door at the end to find Chris asleep in his bed. The lamp at his bedside table is on. She sits down gently on the bedside and puts down the bear. Chris has gone to sleep cradling one of his plastic action men. She kisses her fingers and touches them to his forehead. Then she turns out the light. It's daytime. Chris's mother waits by her car outside a school as children come running out. She is wearing a concerned frown. Chris is trudging forward alone, staring at his feet. He looks up at her and she smiles at him. He fiddles with a page-reading talent show.
You gonna show me that?
He passes it over and she unfolds it.
Should sign up.
He shrugs.
Might be a good way of making new friends.
Don't want to make new friends.
You know, when I was your age, I moved town once too. I was really scared about going to this new place where I'd never been before. But when I got there, my mom signed me up for the brownies. And before I knew it, I had a whole group of new friends. So maybe that might happen too if you sign up for this.
Maybe.
He leans back and looks out the window.
You'll settle in, sweetie. We're going to be happy living here. I promise.
Well, no, he had one of those faces, you know, you just want to punch over and over and over again, you know, like his.
You've never punched anyone in your entire life.
I punched Tom Drum.
Well, that poor kid who always had the moustache dried snot under his nose.
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah, I punched him square in the forehead, remember?
Why?
Look, it was years ago. Look, it doesn't matter. But the thing is, he gets out of his car and he's walking towards me and he's screaming at me that I cut him off and he's raging.
What a bloody degree to open this thing here.
That's you folks out, isn't it?
When are you planning on graduating?
Jay's a permanent student.
I'm a lecturer.
Assistant lecturer.
I am shaping impressionable minds.
Sarah studied teaching too.
Oh, well, I only did a year. I had to drop out. I got pregnant with Chris and kind of took a different path.
Well, I'm glad your path took you down here. Best employee you ever had.
How was that junk shop of yours anyway?
Rob, tell your brother he's an asshole.
Oh, you're an asshole.
So what happened with the guy at your car then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, he comes over to the car, right, and he puts his hand on the bonnet, right, and I swear he's not going to budge an inch, and he's glaring right at me, and you can see he's
sounds
just...
Sounds like walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Walkie-talkie. This crazy old lady lives up in the hills near here.
Near the bridge by your house. You must have seen her by now.
Oh, yeah, that's the woman you told me murdered a kid.
She didn't murder him.
No.
No.
Tell the story.
There's no story.
No. Go on.
Her son James was in my class, used to sit across from me in school. He was really nice, friendly, really into nature, I remember. He used to have ants in a pencil case under his desk. Anyway, when we were around 8, Noreen Brady's her name, she came bursting into the classroom, out of control, screaming insane things about him. And it took 3 teachers to drag her into the principal's office and lock her in before the police came. Nobody knew what was wrong with her. He was taken out of school for a while and she went away to have her head fixed. And then a few months later...
She got out, got a car and mowed the kid down?
No, that's not what happened. It was an accident. It was an awful tragedy.
The poor woman.
Sarah looks down at the table. It's nighttime over the forest. The halls of the house are dark. Sarah is in bed. She wakes at the noise. She sits on the toilet in her pajamas, beginning to doze off again. The noise jolts her awake. She rushes out of the bathroom and looks into the hall. She opens the door to Chris's room. The lamp is on. The bed is empty.
Chris?
She creeps down the stairs.
Sweetie? What are you doing down here?
She jogs down the last few steps and into the doorway of the kitchen. Pausing, she looks around. She steps forward into the room. The wooden door by the cabinets creaks open as she approaches, then suddenly swings shut. Then it begins to swing open again. She stands watching it swing open and shut. Sheets blow on the line outside. Sarah comes out barefoot with a torch. She ducks under the line and moves out into the garden. She gulps, afraid. The circle of light from the torch moves back and forth across tree trunks, highlighting them a few at a time. Something moves behind a tree. Sarah freezes. Slowly, she steps toward the tree. She sees only a small pile of sticks behind it. She shines the light further into the trees.
Christopher?
She turns and runs. Soon after, she emerges from the tree line and comes sprinting across the field. She races upstairs and dials her phone.
Emergency.
Is this the police?
No, but I can't connect you to the police. What's the emergency?
It's my son. He's missing.
Okay, what's your address, please?
There's no number on the house.
Tell me what town you're in.
No, someone might have taken him.
You're gonna have to stay calm and tell me where you live if you want me to help you. Okay? Hello?
Chris shields his eyes against the torch.
Mummy?
She stares at him in the hall and hangs up the call.
Where were you? Chris! Where were you?
Here.
No, you weren't.
Are you okay, Mommy?
How long you been in the area?
Just a few weeks.
And has it only been since the move that you felt like this?
She's with a doctor.
Any history of anxiety disorders in your family?
No.
Have you ever been on medication before?
No.
How about that scar? May I see it, please?
She hesitates, then pushes the hair off her forehead to reveal a long curved scar.
That's quite the bump.
Yeah, I was in an accident.
Not so long ago, by the look of it.
About a year ago, it just sometimes gets irritated.
This is 3 weeks' worth. It's not too heavy, but best to take before bed. Check back in with me then, and we'll see how you're doing, okay?
She stirs a pot.
Sweet, dinner's ready.
You shall have diamonds.
Going into the living room, she becomes distracted by a Betty Boop cartoon on television before finally switching it off.
Chris!
Mommy?
He's at the table.
I thought you were upstairs.
You called me.
Must be pretty hungry.
I'm starving.
She goes over to check on the meal, blowing her hair out of her eyes. Later, she sits on her bed in dim lamplight. She looks down at the green pill in her palm. She puts it in her mouth and takes a sip of water, putting the glass on the nightstand beside the pill bottle. It's light. She wakes slowly.
Good morning, Mommy.
He's sitting with flowers.
Where did you get those?
the garden.
He holds them toward her.
You know, you're not supposed to go outside on your own.
I wanted to surprise you.
Let me see.
She takes the flowers and smells them.
They're beautiful. Thank you.
She holds out her arms and he comes forward to hug her.
I can hear her heartbeat.
How does it sound?
Peaceful.
Sarah sits in her car watching the kids in front of the school. Chris is laughing and talking with some other boys. He looks over at her, smiling. The car drives across a low bridge over a river before turning onto the forest road. Chris is writing in a workbook.
So what are your new friends' names?
Michael and Peter and Sam and Stuart.
Stuart? Stuart Macken?
He nods.
I didn't like him.
I don't have to be his friend.
I know. Making new friends is good, remember?
He nods a few times. They round a bend to find a figure in a long white gown is walking away from them in the middle of the road. Sarah stops the car. She looks at Chris. He's staring straight ahead. They watch the figure walk on. Suddenly it stops. Extremely slowly, it turns around. They stare at each other. Chris leans forward.
It's okay, sweetie.
Sarah puts her hand on him and he leans back in his seat. The figure in white starts walking toward them. It stops about 20 paces away. Its face seems out of focus. It doesn't react to the honking.
Stay here, okay?
Sarah gets out to face it.
Excuse me.
She walks closer.
Can you move off the road, please?
It's the same pale woman from before. She doesn't move.
Mrs. Brady. Mrs. Brady.
Mrs. Brady's eyes focus on Sarah.
It's not your boy.
Noreen.
A white-haired man is approaching.
I'm sorry, She likes to wander. I told her to keep to the side, but she's not a great listener. Yes.
They shake hands.
Sarah.
Noreen Brady walks forward toward the car.
And what's the little man's name, eh?
Sarah looks nervously from Noreen back to Des.
Why'd she get going?
If you ever need anything, you know.
Thanks.
She returns to the car. Noreen is staring in the passenger window at Chris. She looks at Sarah and back to him.
Pick up your son, Noreen!
Please! Come on!
She slams her forehead against the window, leaving a bloody spot. Des hauls her away. They leave the pair behind. The cloudy sky darkens as they drive along past the trees. Sarah is back to scraping wallpaper. She stops and looks at the wall. She's haphazardly removed about half of the paper. Later, she sits at the side of Chris's bed. She kisses her fingertips and touches them to his forehead. In her room, she throws her cardigan on the bed and goes over to the nightstand to get the pills. From outside, the light in the bedroom window goes dark. It's daytime again. Sarah and Chris are driving somewhere.
It's definitely a week of contrast ahead, with many scattered showers.
I'm just gonna stop for 1 minute.
Sarah stops at the Brady's house.
Don't move a muscle, okay?
She begins heading toward the front door, but stops just inside the gate. There is something white on the ground. She frowns at it.
Nori!
She stares down, open-mouthed. Flashes of dirty feet and gnarled fingers. A crow is on Noreen's back, tearing at her flesh. Her head is completely buried in the dirt. Coffee bubbles swirl in a mug.
I then approached the woman. She was crouched down on the ground in front of her house. I thought she was looking for something, maybe something she had lost. But when I got closer, I saw that her head was buried in the ground, and I tried to dig it out. My hands. It was terrifying.
Sarah stops listening, watching Chris arm wrestle someone in the next room. Her eyes grow wider as she watches him narrow his, focused on beating the man. The man's wrist snaps off.
Miss O'Neill. Are you happy to sign this?
She looks back at Chris. Everything looks normal.
Miss O'Neill? Miss O'Neill? You want to change that and I've read back to you?
She shakes her head.
See, look at that. It's too easy.
Suds spill down a drain. Sarah rubs her hair with a towel. She puts down the towel. Then notices it is stained with blood. She puts a hand up to her head and feels around. Her fingers come away bloody. She looks in the mirror, brushing her hair to the side over her scar. Later, she enters a shop.
Morning. Hey. I thought I told you to take a few days.
I know, just not good at sitting around the house.
Oh, I hear you. What do you think I opened this place?
So, how's your weekend?
Fine. Must have been quite a shock, finding her like that.
They look at each other through the shelves of antiques. Sarah nods.
Is it true? I wish she was. Sorry, I don't mean to probe. Sorry. It's just, it's so bizarre.
I know.
And how's Chris?
Yeah, he's fine, thanks. Do you ever look at your kids and not recognise them?
Yeah. Twins are usually hidden under a layer of shite, or food, or both. And as for Serge, Jesus, it's all about the eyebrows these days.
Not how they look, but how they are. Their personalities.
Of course. They swing from monsters to angels and back again in the blink of an eye. You all right?
Yeah. Just a funny few days.
Moving slowly down a hall. The walls are hung with mirrors covered in black veils. They flutter gently. A door is cracked at the end. It's dark behind. Sarah enters. To her left, people dressed in mourning clothes gather in a room. Some of them turn to look at her. She turns away. In the hall, she reaches out and lifts the shroud over a mirror. She looks at herself for a moment, then lets it drop. Entering another room, she finds the casket. No one else is around. She approaches it. Mrs. Brady's hands are folded over a rosary. Sarah reaches out a hand toward the veil over her head.
Sarah.
She startles back. Des is in the doorway.
Sorry for your loss.
I'm just glad she's at peace now. They wanted me to put a lid on, but she'll be in the dark long enough. Rejoin me.
Okay.
He pours her a drink.
Thanks.
Des smiles at some photos on the wall.
James. He lost that tooth playing hurling. He thought it a badge of honor.
He's cute.
He was. I remember the day he was born. Noreen said she finally understood what life was all about. We both did. Oh, did you get that same feeling when your little man was born?
Sarah nods.
And what's his name? I didn't catch it last time we met.
Christopher. Chris.
She didn't mean him any harm, you know.
Why did you say he wasn't my son?
That's what Noreen did. Just after his 8th birthday, Noreen started to say that James was different. She saw tiny, insignificant things only Mother would notice. It was like little pebbles rolling down a hill, you know. Then you blink and it becomes a landslide. The specialist had some fancy name for whatever fuse had popped, but putting a label on it didn't make her any better. She was convinced.
Of what?
That he was an imposter. Wasn't our son. I suppose when she saw your Chris, it reminded her of our James.
What happened to him?
He was hit by a car. My car. Didn't see him dart out on the road. Well, here I am, eh? Maudlin is that bunch of professional mourners lurking out there.
He bends down and kisses his wife's hand.
I always think it's better to remember happier times. Thanks for coming by.
He leaves Sarah alone in the room. She looks after him sadly, then at the photos of James. Sarah jogs through the gloomy forest wearing a white jacket and earphones. She passes the fallen tree from before, then stops and looks back. She takes out her earphones. She crouches down. Chris's action figure lies in the dirt. She picks it up and stares at it. Then she looks off to the right. She goes to the crater and begins pacing around the edge. From above, the center of the crater seems to disappear into nothingness. Sarah comes to a stop at the edge and bends down. She stares into the hole without moving. She sees the dirt at the bottom continuously sinking away like quicksand, being sucked into the earth. She stares without blinking, mesmerized. Chris slurps spaghetti at the table. Sarah watches him. She focuses on his mouth as he sucks them in, looking disgusted. She picks up her bowl and scrapes the rest into the bin. She stands facing away.
Do you remember those beautiful flowers you picked for me in the garden?
Yes.
Have you been going anywhere else?
No.
Like the forest, maybe?
No, Mummy.
So how's Chuck doing? Haven't seen you play with him lately. He's still your favourite, right? Are you sure you haven't been going into the forest on your own?
No, Mummy.
Then how did he get out there?
She holds up the toy and faces him.
No more lies, Christopher.
I'm not.
Tell me the truth.
I am.
Tell me the truth.
I am.
Tell me the truth.
I am.
Stop lying to me.
I'm not.
He shoves the entire table across the kitchen into her.
I'm sorry, Mummy.
Sarah stares at him suspiciously through her hair. He looks distraught. He walks away. The broad dark forest at night, stretching out over hills into the distance. The exterior of the old house, washing hanging limp on the line. Sarah is in the bath with her eyes closed. Candles burn around her. Her head leans on a towel against the wall. She opens her eyes. Next, she's walking down the hall in a bathrobe, brushing her hair with her fingers. Sounds startle her out of her dozy state. She turns to look at the door to Chris's room. Slowly, she approaches the door. She leans her ear against it. She crouches down to peer through the keyhole. Seeing nothing, she lies on the ground to look underneath. She can see the empty space under his bed. A spider scurries across the floor. A child's hand scrabbles after it, fingers moving like legs. He grabs at the spider but misses. He chases it on all fours. Then he clambers over the bed. Sarah looks through the keyhole. Chris's bony back and head rise up on the other side. He's huddled over his hands. His head turns right. His lips are closed around the spider and he's chewing. Sarah backs away from the door.
Mommy? Is that you?
She turns and runs. She runs into her room and hides just inside the door.
Mommy!
Chris!
Where are you?
In bed, why?
He appears outside the door.
Good night, Mommy.
Good night, sweetie.
He turns away. She sags against the wall.
And in?
They're with the doctor.
And those. And in? And out. And a big, deep one. And out.
Chris stares at her without blinking.
It's not the most unusual thing I've heard of a kid eating.
Yeah, but usually he's petrified of them. There's something not right with him lately. I can't put my finger on it, but I know. I just know he's not himself.
And how are you feeling? Is the medication helping?
She frowns and shakes her head slightly.
May I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Chris's father, is he around?
She shakes her head again.
And that scar on your head? Was it actually an accident, Sarah?
Sarah closes and locks her car. She walks down the street head down, bumping against a man as she passes. She goes into a shop. Looking at a row of cameras on a shelf, she picks one up and fiddles with it. She sets it back and picks up another. It's a small digital camera. Chris sits with his feet up, holding a glass and laughing at the television. Sarah comes around the door behind him.
You had a chat? Hired me right there on the spot. Three tours. Point is, never say never. So, which one of you boys can sing?
Sarah goes up to his room. She looks at the neat rows of army men on a table, stuffed bears on a shelf, and Lego in jars sorted by color. She looks around for somewhere to hide the camera. She absent-mindedly strokes the side of her head as she looks around the room. She removes a brick from a bricked-up fireplace at about her eye level. She turns on the camera and places it in the hole. Then she fills the space around the lens with smaller rocks. Taking a few steps back, she bends down to Chris's height to check. He walks in.
What are you doing, Mommy?
Washing.
She pulls his clothes out of a basket. That evening, she's hanging the washing out on the line when she looks up to see Chris staring out his window at her. She stares back and eventually gives him a small wave. In her bedroom, she takes a pill from the bottle on her nightstand. She holds it in her palm and frowns down at it, then looks away, thinking. Sarah stands smoothing new wallpaper at the foot of the stairs. Chris comes down in his pajamas.
Morning. I finished it. Are you hungry? Come on.
Chris sits in the kitchen eating cereal. Sarah is at the sink behind him. She watches him for a moment. She comes around the table and kneels next to him. He keeps eating.
You know I love you very much, sweetie.
He nods without looking at her.
I'm sorry if I've been acting a little strange lately. It's just that sometimes when you're a grown-up, life gets all blocked up with worry.
He stops eating and looks over.
But then I look at you and I remember what life is really all about.
Chris reaches out a hand and touches her cheek gently. His fingertips move upward.
Chris.
He puts a finger to her lips. His other hand continues to move across her forehead, exposing her scar. He holds the hair back and traces it with a finger. His face contorts and he digs in his nails. Sarah wakes up. Chris is sitting dressed on his bed, combing his hair. Parents applaud in a dark school auditorium. Sarah joins in, looking dazed. Three costumed children bow.
We have my class. So please, put your hands together for the Rattlin' Bugger!
A class of children in uniforms, including Chris, walk on stage. Chris stares right at Sarah. The others keep dancing and don't react.
On the branch, on the tree. On the tree. In the hole. And the hole in the bog.
The other parents disappear.
And the bog. Down in.
The other children vanish.
The value.
They stare at each other in the empty room. hallways of the school contort and dilate. Sarah runs down them in a panic. She reaches a door and tugs at it wildly, but it doesn't open. She finds another. It's locked as well. Eyes wide and hair flying, she charges around a corner and leans on a pillar for support.
Sarah. Are you all right? Sarah.
He's not my son.
Chris.
Louise stands shocked.
Whose son is he?
I don't know, but it's not Chris. It's not him.
I don't know what you mean.
I know we sound crazy, but if it was yours, you would know.
Okay. Let's go for a walk. Sarah, let's get some air.
Chris walks up beside Louise.
Did you see me?
Sarah looks frightened of him.
Mummy, what's wrong?
Wasn't he brilliant?
Sarah.
You okay, Miss Sonny?
Mummy.
She takes off again.
Mommy!
She sprints down the hall away from them. Flashes of Sarah's eyes reflected in her rearview mirror as she drives home. Bricks scattered across the floor of Chris's room. Sarah backs across to the bed and sits down with the camera. She clutches it in both hands and presses a button. She looks up with wide eyes. The hall full of mirrors at the Brady's house. They are no longer shrouded.
I've seen myself grow old from too many angles. Even after 30 years, she still checked me every day.
Check you for what?
That I was still me. The mirror always tells the truth. That's what you'd say.
Sarah pulls the camera from her pocket.
I need to show you something. What was wrong with James? I think it's happening to Chris.
There was nothing wrong with James.
Please, just look at it.
What are you doing, Mommy? He stares at her.
Please.
Washing. Why don't you stay up here and play with your toys?
He bends down and picks up the camera.
Do you see it? That can't be my son. Tell me you see him. Tell me.
His face twitches and he swallows.
I'm sorry. I can't see anything.
Noreen was right.
Enough.
He wasn't your son.
Enough.
Chris isn't Chris and James wasn't James.
Enough!
He throws the camera to the ground.
Then tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm crazy. Tell me.
I can't.
He leaves Sarah standing in his kitchen. She looks down at the broken screen of the camera flickering on the floor. She grabs it. At home. She sits down and begins prying at it. Behind her, Chris rises from the floor of the living room. He turns to face her as she gets the SD slot open.
Mommy?
She jumps and drops the camera.
Why did you run away from me at school?
I wasn't feeling too good.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah,
Much.
You won't run away at me again, will you?
No.
I don't like being left on my own.
You hungry?
He nods.
I'll make your favorite.
He smiles and steps closer. He reaches a hand out to touch her cheek. Then he hugs her.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you too.
She doesn't smile. Sarah opens the bin and looks at her pill bottle inside. She shoves it further down.
Dinner's ready!
Chris runs downstairs. He pauses in the doorway.
Come on, before it gets cold.
He sits down at the table and looks at her. She pushes a bowl of Parmesan cheese across.
Don't you want some?
You know I don't like the dust cheese, remember?
He takes the bowl and begins spooning it onto his pasta. Sarah watches him add several spoonfuls. He then spears a tomato with his fork and eats it. On the television, a tank rolls through a forest toward a boy bound to a tree. Chris watches in a chair. Sarah watches him from the kitchen. Chris yawns ostentatiously and leans back over the side of the chair, spotting Sarah. He sits up and smiles at her.
You know what we haven't played in a while? Our game.
Our favorite?
He stares at her solemnly. She makes a serious face as well.
Three.
He doesn't move.
Two. One.
Nothing happens.
You're not my son.
Chris stands up from the chair.
You're not Chris.
He walks toward her. She backs away.
You're not my son. You're not my son.
She backs against the sink. He keeps advancing.
You're not my son.
He stops.
What's wrong with you, Mommy?
You're not my son.
Chris is near tears. Then his expression hardens. He runs at her and grabs her wrists. He throws her to the side. He advances again. They're hidden off to the left behind a door frame.
Hands off me! Don't, please!
She flies across the kitchen table. Chris advances again. Sarah's face in the dark, covered in scratches. Her eyes are shut. She frowns and blinks. Something is moving back and forth in front of her. Chris comes into focus. He's digging in the dirt with his hands. He sees her wake up. His feet approach. she is dragged across the ground, still not fully conscious. Chris puts her face in the hole and holds it there. He begins burying her head. A clump of dirt falls on the hand with her wedding ring. Then everything goes black. Chris stops. His mother lies face down with her head buried in the dirt. He looks at his hands. He collapses next to her. Sarah's hand twitches. She braces her hands against the ground and manages to free her head. Chris lies motionless nearby as she gasps for air. The pill bottle lies on the floor. Sarah comes in, dragging Chris by the feet. The cellar light flickers on. Holding Chris under the arms, Sarah drags him down the stairs and leans him against a banister. She backs away carefully, watching him. Her hair is full of dirt. Her waist and then torso are reflected in the car's wing mirror on a table as she backs up. She looks at her reflection, slightly distorted in the cracked glass. She reaches for it. Slowly, she reapproaches Chris. He sits limply against the side of the stairs. She crouches down in front of him. The light flickers. Crying, she holds up the mirror. Her hand shakes as she positions it next to his face. A glimpse of a worm-like creature. Sarah drops the mirror. The light goes out. The light flashes on and off. Sarah stands looking down. Chris begins to rise.
What have you done with him?
He looks at her. A tear rolls down her cheek.
What have you done with him?
He leaps at her face. She staggers against the wall. He chokes her. They wrestle in the flickering light. He throws her against the stairs and sits on her. She twists and slams his head on a banister. Sarah stands over Chris, who lies motionless on his back. His eyes are closed. Suddenly his eyes fly open and he screams. Sarah shrinks back as he convulses on the ground. She runs up the stairs and locks the cellar door. She backs away from the noise, clutching her head. As the shrieks fade, she lifts her hands away. She looks toward the front door. A view of the hole from above. Sarah races through the dark trees with her torch. She reaches the hole and steps over the edge. She descends. The bottom keeps sinking endlessly away into itself. Sarah grabs some protruding roots for purchase as her feet begin to sink. Her legs disappear into the ground. She looks up at the shadows of the trees against the sky. She lets go and sinks into the hole. The torch shines faintly against dirt. Sarah lifts it up. It shines briefly across her hair and face. She peers around in the near total darkness. The torch moves past scraggly hanging roots. She reaches the entrance to a narrower tunnel only a few feet across. She crawls toward it on hands and knees. The front is partially blocked with large rocks. She shines the torch between them. Then she reaches a hand through the gap. Feeling around, she is able to grasp beneath the rocks and roll them away. The tunnel is long and low. She crawls inside on her stomach, pulling herself forward on her elbows. Her foot catches on something and she gets stuck. She tugs at it, unable to turn around. Unable to move, she begins to panic. She gives her leg a final sharp tug and something budges. She takes a moment to breathe. Steeling herself, she starts crawling forward again. Water is dripping down ahead. She emerges into a larger space. Thick roots run up like pillars from the floor. She stands up in the cave. The sound makes her turn. Shaking, she looks for the source of the noise. Around a corner, she spots something on the ground. She crouches beside the skeleton of a small child. The bones are caked with dirt. She shines the torch around in an arc and decides to go to her left. More bones lie in the dirt before her. The torch light falls across Chris's face. He's dirty and his eyes are closed. She clears dry roots away and picks him up, cradling him to her chest. Crouched with him, she sees something over his shoulder. She picks him up and turns around. One of the skeletons rises from the dirt. Skin slides over its bones. It drips. Another hand claws at the ground. Sarah runs and sets Chris down near the tunnel. The creatures twitch as flesh creeps over them. Sarah tries to drag Chris backwards into the tunnel as the blank skin starts stretching over the dead children's faces. One of the creatures opens its mouth impossibly wide. Sarah backs down the tunnel pulling Chris. A skin creature crawls in after them. It moves awkwardly but faster than Sarah can. Its elbows jut out at sharp angles. Sarah pulls Chris from the tunnel and the creature grabs her arm. She beats it with the torch. She looks down to see a normal-looking human hand gripping her. She points the torch into the hole and sees her own face staring back, clean and expressionless. Her real face is barely recognizable under dirt and scraggly hair. She slams the torch down. Someone runs through the trees. It's Sarah. Carrying Chris, a spot of moonlight shines down through a break in the canopy. She stops and sets him against a tree.
Chris, wake up. Chris! Wake up. Wake up. Chris, come.
His eyes flutter. She embraces him. They emerge from the forest. Sarah is still carrying Chris. His arms are wrapped around her shoulders. She runs across the field. The door to her car is locked. She sets him down next to it. She sprints toward the house. The creaky kitchen door opens and Sarah peers in. She looks around the room. She picks up her keys from the table. Noises are coming from the cellar door. Sarah stands next to her running car, holding Chris and staring ahead. She watches smoke rise from the house. The car drives along the long deserted road from their house. Sarah is crying as she drives. Her face is still streaked with dirt. She looks back at Chris, lying in the back seat. He opens his eyes and smiles at her. Sarah sits in a lecture hall with other students, taking notes. She sits at a lunch table, chatting with some friends. She smiles and laughs. She walks away from the university talking to Chris, who pedals a bike beside her. He cycles ahead down the path. She follows him carrying a backpack in one hand. He circles around to meet her and she kisses his head. Sarah looks out her new apartment window. She holds a large black camera to the glass and focuses on Chris cycling below. She presses back through the photos and watches the snapshots of him riding in a circle. She stops on one where his face is visible and looks at it intently, zooming in several times. She glances out the window and back at the image. She moves away from the window, still staring at the camera. Behind her, the wall is covered in hanging mirrors. Slowly, she lowers the camera. The wall next to her is full of mirrors as well. She shuts it off and puts it down, picking up a mug instead and taking a sip. She walks away, leaving the room of mirrors.
There was an old
Shauna Kerslake,
who lived in the woods, who we hear.
James Cosmo,
there was
Katie Altonen,
woman who lived in the woods,
down Simone Kirby, Steve Wall.
She had a baby three.
Introducing James Quinn Markey. Directed by Lee Cronin.
Yeah, the baby.
Written by Lee Cronin and Stephen Shields.
By the river, so
co-produced by John Keville and Connor Berry. Co-produced by Benoit Roland and Ula Simonen. Executive producers Leslie McKim, McDara Kelleher, Patrick O'Neill, Phil Hunt, Compton Ross, Stephen Kelleher, Hilary Davis, Tim Hegarty, Tara Finnegan. Director of Photography, Tom Comerford, ISC. Production designer, Connor Dennison. Costume designer, Saya Siakinen. Makeup and hair designer, Sala Iolialupa. Editor, Colin Campbell. Sound, Quentin Collette, Jeroen Trau Jens, Philippe Charbonnel. Music by Stephen McKeon. Casting by Louise Keeley and Thirza Jing. Other credits follow. The hole in the ground. Abstract white shapes fly onto the screen and form the logo for A24.